about it. Maybe.
Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. Laura Sievert is here. I've just shocked her, but we won't go into that. Laura and I agree on almost everything, but apparently I found a sticking point where Laura and I have,
I had to have something.
Obverse views, but that's okay. One thing we can always agree on is how great the arts programs are in Quincy. And even in bold print for you to see, I have left my computer screen
you
up.
You did, but I clicked on something and it disappeared. It's okay. It's on my phone. But actually, I want to talk about something else first that's not on my list here for the day because, you know, sometimes I get a little distracted. We were just going over our numbers for the year at Arts Quincy. And I've been talking about it all year, but we expanded our kids program this year. So that we will have given at least one arts activity, sometimes multiple arts activities, to every K through 8 student in the entire county. And do you know, when we talked about this last August, when we got the increase in funding from the state and some other great funders came through for us, when we talked about how we were going to execute a program this big, I think I was a little intimidated, and here we are coming to the end of the school year. We're wrapping it up. We're trying to get a few more activities in. We got a big assembly coming to Quincy Junior High School coming up, and I just can't believe we did it. So may I say thank you to my Arts Quincy's board, who's been so supportive, all of the providers that we've had. We partnered with the Children's Museum and the Theater and the Arts Center and the Historical Society. And the dance studios in town and the library and all of those people that came together to make the program happen should be super proud. We also gave those museum passes to everybody in Brown County. So overall, we will serve like 10,000 arts activities up for a really small amount of money per person served. And I'm really proud of it. And one other program I haven't talked about lately, or maybe ever on this program, we are doing a really cool intervention program in the music department as a pilot. A lot of kids quit their instruments at really predictable times. So they'll start an instrument, and then they'll go into junior high school, for instance, and they'll decide, well, I'm not going to play an instrument anymore. Or they'll have a transition, and they'll stop playing, or they'll get behind in their practice and feel like they can't keep up. So we're trying for the first time an intervention program at the schools to try to stop people from quitting their instruments. And we had 6 enrollees for the first go. I mean, it's not a ton, but all 6 took 5 private lessons free from us, 5 weeks of private lessons, and all 6 are still playing and planning on playing next year. And I'm so excited to report that because that's what arts. You know, that's what we're meant to do as an arts council is make it possible, create the conditions for people to succeed at their art forms. So I just wanted to talk about programs there for a second.
Well, I think you're wise to do that because, like you said, there are transitions. First of all, Quincy starts its children at 4th grade. Some people don't even start their kids until 9th grade,
right,
or 7th grade. So by the time you're going into high school or junior high, you might become fatigued, and there's other things that might capture your interest. So keeping them involved in their musical lessons is critically important, so I applaud you for that. And plus, like you said, hitting it out of the ballpark with everybody who's gotten a chance to go see some kind of arts interpretation this year. Almost every single school child has been impacted, so congratulations on that. But wait, there's more.
But there's stuff going on this week I should talk about, too. We just have been doing all this review stuff, and I was like, whoa, we kicked a little booty this year. They are. So, you know, I'm going to brag a little bit on that. Anywho, we got some other stuff coming up. Let's see. Sorry, I lost my place.
Lincoln
Douglas Museum. So let's start with Lincoln Douglas Museum. They've got History Happy Hour again. They really have had some success with this. If you haven't been to the new Lincoln Douglas Museum, they've really redone everything inside. Great new infographics, TV monitors with information on them and interactive displays. But they're doing these happy hour programs where, you can have a cocktail and listen to a great historian, share some great knowledge with you. So this month's program is called Hidden History, Lincoln's Rum Sweat, and the speaker is Iris Nelson. She's a Lincoln historian, obviously. She's a member of the advisory board for the museum. And she uncovered an unrecorded moment for Lincoln behind the scenes after the 6th debate here in Quincy, the 6th Lincoln-Douglas debate. And she's going to explain the rum sweat, which is described as a cure for Mr. Lincoln that helped him continue the Illinois Senate race against Stephen Douglas. It was a real turning point in his political career and, you know, put him on the path to the presidency. And Iris is just really, really knowledgeable. So I think it's going to be great. Doors open at 5. There's a short reception. Talk starts about 5:30. And it's open to the public and free. Donations are welcome, but it's just a way to get you in those doors and interacting with the Lincoln legacy right here in Quincy.
Okay. And?
And Sunday Music Series is coming right up. Chris Lowe was just in my office yesterday talking about it, and I'm so excited to hear what they've got going on. So it's this Sunday, the 24th, at the First Union Congregational Church. They're on just on 12th and Main. It's going to be Chris Lowe on violin, Hedy Rothfuss on piano, Sarah Boren, I imagine on harp, and Stephen and Stephanie Javot on cello and violin, so a little quintet.
It would be quite surprising if the other lady was playing a trombone instead of a harp. That would be a big
surprise.
That would
be weird. Yeah. She plays a couple of instruments, but it's probably going to be harp.
It's probably going to be harp.
She's really great at the harp. She's been she's been our in lots of arts Quincy events. So, plus the youth River City Strings will be there as well. So, from Javot Music School, the performance is free. Sunday Music Series is a terrific way to get your kids involved and families involved in just live music. I love taking my kids because then they get to experience, especially my younger one hasn't picked an instrument yet, and he gets to go see a bunch of other kids playing violins. You know, that's how you spark that interest, and I think it's a terrific program. Again, that's the Sunday, 4 o'clock, at the First Union Congregational Church there on 12th and Main.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Always great. I'm waiting for you to say one more thing.
I do have one more thing. Well, I just wanted to remind folks that our Dogwood Royalty Contest is going on. Don't forget, we are looking for videos, short videos on your cell phone. Don't overdo it, folks. You can do this. A minute, 90 seconds with your kiddo. We're looking for a king and a queen and a prince and a princess. Ages and all the details are on our website. But we're asking kids to talk about community. What does community mean to a 4 or 5 year old in Quincy, Illinois? I'd like to know. So let them be adorable, let them be cute, and we'll pick some great folks. We ordered sashes. I have to shout out Expressions by Christine. They made the cutest Arts Quincy Dogwood Royalty sashes. You guys, they're adorable. She does a good job. We got little crowns. They're purple, not to give it away, but because, you know, Arts Quincy's color is that royal purple. So we got purple crowns. They're adorable. So,
okay.
Just enter the contest. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Go to artsquincy.org, artsquincy.org for these details and anything else you need to know in the world of art. Thank you so much, Laura Sievert. She probably has a crown for herself. What do you bet? What do you bet she has a sash and a crown for herself?
I kind of need one.
I think that's going to happen. 9:29, we'll talk about the Canton Library in just a minute. And we're going to talk about an issue that affects people in the Canton area. The Canton Public Library is asking for a property tax increase, the first one in 40 years, to continue funding at the library. Joining me today is the executive director, the paid librarian of Canton, Mary Kay Lane. Mary Kay, if you'll just introduce yourself to our audience, please.
Hello, I'm Mary Kay Lane, and I am the director of the Canton Public Library, and thank you for having me.
How many years have you been in that post?
Oh, about 4.
Okay. So you have seen some, you have experience in the last 4 years with funding and how things are going.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Now, we do want to say that Mary Kay Lane, as a paid employee of the library, cannot advocate for or against, but is here to educate. Patty Meldrum is in the same place. They're here to educate the folks in Canton and maybe everywhere that has a library about the importance of library. Patty, tell us about yourself and what you do with the library.
I am the president of the Board of Trustees as a volunteer, and I would just like to give a shout out to the board that we have. We have a nice cross-section of folks that are really engaged in trying to ensure that we do the best for the library and for our patrons.
Well, what do you make, $10,000, $15,000 a year as a library board member?
Oh, more than that.
These are people who volunteer, folks. Zippity-doo-dah do they get. And it is a tough job because you have a lot of people that are depending on you and you have a lot of tough decisions to make. And I'm sure one of the toughest decisions you made recently was, we need more money, in our opinion, and the way to get that is to ask for this. So please lay out, Patty, if you will, Patty Meldrum, what exactly will be on the ballot? What is it you're asking for?
We're asking for a 22-cent increase to our current tax levy, and that's based on $100 per assessed valuation. So if your assessed valuation is $16,000, which is about average in Canton, then the tax would be on $1,600. And
did I get that right? Did I do the math?
No, a third. $16,000 a third.
No.
No.
It's $16,000 divided by 100 times the 22 cents.
Okay.
And so for most folks, it's around $30 a year annually. And we've marketed this as less than a cup of coffee, basically. So it'd be $160 times 22 cents.
Okay. So the average person, if they voted yes, it would be an increase of $30 a year on their property tax.
Exactly.
Okay. So, you know, like you said, divide that by 365 days and you can clearly see it is not a lot. However, it is something. And people often say my property taxes are too high. So let's talk about what you're going to do with this money. And Mary Kay, this may be, you jump in, please, because I don't know who, I didn't pre-decide who should answer what question. We don't do that here on the Mary Griffith Show. So let's talk about this. $30, it's not like you're asking for a huge amount of money. So you must need this money. Talk about where you are now, you know, what your annual operating budget is or however you want to place that, and what this money would do for you, and then, of course, adversely, what would happen if you didn't get the money, and take as much time, because we've got to have an hour.
Yeah, sure. So currently our operating budget covers only about 65% of our costs. So we have about a 35% gap there that we're covering with emergency funds, with surplus funds that are going to run out if costs keep going up like they do, and our income from tax money stays the same. So we can't cover all of our expenses with the tax money that we have. So we do rely on grants and we get donations, but those generally can't be used for operating. You can't get a grant to pay your electric bill. You can't get a grant to pay your employees. So those are for cool special projects, which we love to offer the community. But when it comes down to keeping the doors open and paying the bills, paying the insurance, paying the utilities, that's the stuff that is kind of hurting our budget.
Do you have your own... Are you your own property tax body now, or is this something that the city of Canton, that you are under their jurisdiction? How does that work?
We are completely independent of the city of Canton. We don't get money from them other than they collect the taxes and then distribute them. So
right.
We can't ask for money from the city at all.
Okay. So what is your levy now? You want a 22% increase. What is it now?
22 cents. It's
22 cents. You want a
yes.
22 cent increase. What is it now?
It's 23 cents.
Okay, so you're basically asking for a doubling.
Yes, and had we been more proactive over the last 40 years, we wouldn't be asking for that amount of money. We should have been probably taxing all along the way, but things were okay until minimum wage increased dramatically. Our utility costs have skyrocketed, and technology has taken it. You know, 40 years ago, we didn't have a lot of technology in our library, and it costs a lot of money to keep that technology upgraded and to offer e-books and to offer all of the research opportunities that are available to any of our patrons to come in and use our computers.
Yeah, when I was a member of the Canton Public Library and lived in Canton for a year, I wrote my name on a little paper card that I took out of the book, and 2 weeks later I brought my book back, and they put the paper card and crossed my name off and said, yes, she returned the book, and put the book back, put the card back in. But you're right, there was no technology to speak of. Everything has changed. You mentioned this, Patty, and it is a hurdle. You're at 23 cents now, 22 cents, while it's only $30 a year. So people are paying about $30 a year now. Every person who lives in Canton that pays a property tax bill is already supporting the Canton Library at the level of $30 a year. Incredibly low. That's less than half of what Quincy, for example, gives to its library. But because nobody ever wants to raise property taxes, you did wait, and now people can honestly say you're asking to double my property tax. So what has been the reaction? Because there have to be some naysayers who have said there's no way I can't, you know, that's doubling my property tax.
I am so proud of the Canton community for the way it has always supported education. It has supported our schools. They've never not passed a levy or a bond issue for our schools. And I am confident that the community will feel the same way about the library, that it's an education opportunity. It enhances literacy. We have a lot of early childhood programs happening, summer reading programs, 1,000 books by kindergarten. And I hope that, and I feel confident that the voters in Canton realize the importance of the library and understand that we have tried to hold steady without asking them for anything for 40 years. And so we're almost catching up now. I think the significant thing to know is what will happen should this not pass.
And I think we need to talk about that. One of the things that is interesting about this, and in talking with Patty when we were setting up this interview, Mary Kay Lane, if you get this property tax increase, it's not like you're going to go do some whiz-bang thing and you know, be open 24/7 and build a new building or do any of that. You're almost asking for this almost as a maintenance budget.
Correct.
So talk a little bit about what will happen if this does not pass, because that could be a possibility on April 2nd, and I think people need to know. If they're saying, well, I don't know, do they really need it? Tell us, what will happen if this does not pass?
Sure. If it does not pass, we foresee that operational hours of the library will likely have to decrease. We're open 40 hours a week now. We would have to investigate where the best place is to cut those hours. With a commensurate decrease in staffing, we'd have to cut some of our part-time staff. Well, we're all part-time, actually. I would have to probably decrease some hours. It would mean a drastic decrease in the programming that we offer, because that is mostly staff-driven. We're tight with what we spend on programming, and it's what the people bring, what our staff brings to the programs. So we do Lego Club twice a month. We do a Crafternoon twice a month for after school kids. Those things are going to be a lot harder to pull off. The Legos were paid for with grant money. The crafts we pay for hardly at all because we have crafts in the back. But yeah, those things take people, and if we lose the tax levy increase, we're going to lose people and people hours, and that's what's most important. So that's where I see it.
And I guess it's a little bit shocking when people are maybe listening from the Quincy perspective, where we have, you know, a library that's open many hours a week and has a large enough staff to do all that, and many full-time employees. You're operating with all part-time employees and obviously not paying them luxurious wages. If minimum wage affected you that much, I mean, I don't mean to be rude. Patty is board president. That's a terrible statement about how much you pay your staff, because, I mean, if minimum wage affected you that much by going up, that just goes to show that your library staffers are working for very little money.
They are, and we've taken a lot of cost-cutting measures already to avoid asking our voters for more support. We've reduced hours of operation already. We're not open on Mondays. We are not doing a lot of purchasing, and we've frozen wages for our staff. Our library runs on less than 1.5 full-time equivalency employees. And if you follow us on Facebook or look at our webpage, activities are happening all the time. Our goal is to be the center for our community and a place where people can come and have a lot of needs met in a lot of different ways.
Okay. We're talking today to Patty Meldrum, the chairman of the board, and Mary Kay Lane, the professional librarian in Canton. Canton's library district has nothing to do with the city. They have their own property tax levy, which is now at 23 cents. They want to raise that to 45 cents by asking for a 22-cent increase on the April 2nd ballot. We've talked a little bit about what will happen if it doesn't happen, and we're going to continue that conversation. If you'd like to chime in, you can welcome a phone call, 1-800-228-9823, 1-800-228-9823. Now we're going to head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. This report brought to you by Syngenta. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. My guest today, Patty Meldrum, the president of the board of the Canton Public Library, and Mary Kay Lane. And they are here to educate the public about a bond issue, a 22-cent increase in property taxes for Canton City residents in order to support the public library. The average person would see about a $30 payout. That's what they're about paying now, and they'd have another $30 added to that. So the entire cost of running the library per property tax bill, which includes people in a home that have maybe four or five kids, you know, would be $60. And that is certainly a lot less than a lot of other towns pay to run their libraries. But, of course, property taxes meet with great resistance. So one of the questions is, Patty Meldrum, was there any thought about a sales tax or any campaign to raise more money from the private sector? And get close to your microphone, please.
We are always welcoming donations from the public, and we have established within the last 2 years a Friends of the Library organization, and they're great about doing fundraisers, but we're a small town. And also I would like to mention that only people who own property within the city limits of Canton. It doesn't extend beyond into farm ground or anything that's outside the city limits. We're kind of a little island, and folks will see library tax on their county tax bill, but that goes to a regional library. It does not come into the Canton Public Library. We did a little analysis, and if you look at your total tax bill for the city and the county, what comes to the Canton Public Library is around 3%. And if you just look at the city taxes that you pay, it's less than 13%. So it's a very, very small amount of your total of anyone's total tax bill.
But yes, and that's good to point out. And again, if you don't live in Canton, you will not be affected by this. Mary Kay Lane, do you sell memberships to people that live outside of Canton? When I lived in Canton, I lived in Canton. So if I didn't live in Quincy, for example, if I lived in LaGrange, Missouri, and I wanted to belong to the Quincy Public Library, I could come over and buy a Quincy Public Library card that would be cost-effective based on what, you know, a Quincy citizen would pay. Do you have non-Canton people that use your library?
Yes, we definitely do. We have quite a few. The regional library that Patty spoke of, a lot of people that live right outside the Canton city limits where our library is closest to them cannot use our services for free. So we do sell a non-resident membership for $20 a year, which will likely also go up.
I was going to say, that really it doesn't pay for the cost.
No, it doesn't. And it's been at 20 for quite some time. So that's another item up for discussion. And there are some restrictions as to what outside city limits card holders can do, especially if they're outside Lewis County. But, yeah, we do have several. People are grateful to have a library so close that is open so many hours compared to the regional libraries in the area.
Libraries are, well, they're under attack. And here's some of the attack. Well, I don't need that brick-and-mortar library. I can get it on my Kindle. I can get a book anywhere. I can order things from Amazon. I can do whatever. You know, why is it so important to maintain a staffed, open, brick-and-mortar library in Canton?
The first thing that comes to my mind is after-school kids. And we have a lot of kids who come in after school needing a place to go before they go home, because there may not be anybody at home. They need a place to hang out, maybe do homework, get their Wi-Fi. We have a lot of residents who just simply don't have internet access at home. So we can provide that for them with free Wi-Fi. We can provide the computers. We also, of course, it takes a brick and mortar building and people staffing it to purchase ebooks and to it's part of taxpayer dollars is the ebooks, the e-audiobooks, the physical books. The fact that we have an aging demographic that are not all that interested, a lot of them, in ebooks, e-audiobooks. They want to hold a book, and frankly, I'm one of them. We still need that for people. We need to have a place where people can still come for information. And a role of a librarian has always been to help people find information. In this age of so much information out there, it's so hard to discern what is right, what is a viable, a reliable source of information is getting more and more difficult with Google searches, with Wikipedia, with artificial intelligence.
I can't believe that I would ask Mary Kay Lane to advise me on a project rather than just going to TikTok.
Oh, no, please. That pains me.
Well, but, you know, and this is part of the problem. As things become more accessible, everything's accessible, and you don't know who that trusted source is, but you know if you're doing research for a paper for a kid, or if you just want information as an adult about a topic, you know you're going to get the guidance with a librarian in Canton that will guide you to this is a legitimate source of information.
Exactly. I like the way that you said guide you to the right information.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Remaining minutes, and I guess I'll let Patty, she's passionate about this, this and also eating great food at St. Patrick, Missouri, but that's a whole other discussion. Patty Meldrum, give the best case. I mean, if it passes and if it doesn't pass, give us the educational push.
If the tax increase passes, and I am confident in the voters of our little town, if it passes, we will continue to provide the high-quality services that we're currently providing. We'll hopefully be able to open more hours, be open on Mondays again, and we will be able to keep our holdings current. We'll be able to stay current with technology, and we'll be able to become that true center for our community.
And if it doesn't pass?
And if it doesn't pass, we're looking at some difficult decisions as a board. As Mary Kay mentioned earlier, we're operating on reserve funds that have, you know, accumulated over the years during COVID and other things. But those funds are going to be depleted, and we will not be able to make the fixed costs that currently are necessary to run the library, like staffing, utilities. Property insurance has skyrocketed, minimum wage, and quite honestly, as the the chairman of the library board, my heart hurts that we are not able to do better to pay our employees what they're worth. I'm not sure we could ever find enough money to pay Mary Kay what she's worth or our part-time staff.
And it has become for them a mission. But at some point in time, you know, if you have to continue to cut hours, so now instead of getting 30 hours a week or 20 hours a week, now I'm down to 15 or 10 hours a week, you no longer can really say that's my profession.
We will not have a professional library.
Okay. The vote is April 2nd.
April 2nd.
Canton City voters. It's up to you to decide this issue. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
One of the things the Mary Griffith Show and WTAD prides ourselves on is educating you about issues of public interest. This Friday, we're going to have another guest on about an issue on the Hannibal ballot to pay for their sewer and storm water system. It's a little bit hard to explain and comprehend. It's certainly not as exciting as reading a book, but everybody's got to have a place for their wastewater and storm water to go. So it affects every single person. So tune in on Friday on the Mary Griffith Show, and we will be talking all about that. And tomorrow, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes will be here. So I'm looking forward to that as well.